Thank you. I was a little worried for a second. Good morning. Good morning. Would you turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 32? If you brought your Bibles, that is amazing. If it's on your phone, that's okay. As long as you have access to the Word of God, that is great. Now, if you don't have a Bible with you, look around. We have Bibles everywhere. There should be one under a chair somewhere around you, either in front of you, underneath you. There is a Bible somewhere. We also have Bibles available on the back table under the window there. And we also have large print, if that is your prerogative. Whatever reason you would have for that, we have that available back there as well. We do only ask that if you don't own a Bible, that whatever Bible you touch, you take with you. Put your name in it. That is now yours. We don't want it back. You got your germs on it. We don't want it anyway. We do ask that maybe if you do take that with you, that you do come back and see us again at some point. But we want you to have access to God's word at all times. We believe that it is so important. If you were here last week, Pastor Steve talked about how accurate, how trustworthy the Bible is, that it is something that you can and should build your life on. I think as I get older, the more I realize that catchy things are nice, but we don't really want something that's just catchy. We want something that's concrete, that in a very shaky world, we need something that we can actually stand on in our life. And we believe, we know that that is the Word of God. So take that with you. That is yours. Yesterday, today, and forever, our God and His Word, it never changes. So hopefully you're there. Are you ready to get into God's Word this morning? Now, we don't explain the cheer often. We've been doing it so long, so if you're new, I want to explain very quickly. Over a year ago, many months ago, we were challenged with this fact that a lot of people get very excited when the Bills win and not as excited for the literal word of God. And so we believe that you should at least cheer, maybe not as much as when the Bills win because we have neighbors and we don't want them to get too worried, but cheer for the word of God. So if you are there, Mark 4, verses 30 through 32, follow along as I read it out loud. It says this, again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable should we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. My title for this morning is this. Hopefully it's working. Yeah. Patience in the planting. Patience in the planting. If you are a little bit more holy than the rest of us and you're taking notes, I have a subtitle for you as well. Patience in the planting, and then trust the process. Trust the process. I believe that God has a word for every single one of you that came in this morning, myself included, that you came through those doors for a reason. So would you pray with me as God prepares us for that word this morning? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning seeking you. God, for those of us who are lost, we pray for direction. For those of us who are weary, we pray for rest. For those of us who have been carrying so much for so long, we pray that you will give us the strength we need to lay those things down at your feet. God, we need you. Open us to your message, God, not mine, your message. Help us to not only hear it, but to apply it. As always, we pray that we will leave here better than how we arrived. God, we love you. We pray this all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Trust the process. Trust the process. That's hard because life is a process. I will update you a little bit on some of the progress my family's been making along that process of life. You guys okay? That is the bigger one is our three-year-old, Nora, but the smaller one is our newborn. She is almost 4 months now. So Nora's the older one, Alice Reed Sealing. She was born January 24th of this year. She loves things like drooling and waking us up every about 2 hours at night. Someone this morning, I won't say who, they meant this very nicely, said, you look good for someone with a newborn at home. Thank you. Alice was born on January 24th. For those of you who have gone through that, this might mean something to you. We pulled into the parking lot of the hospital at 3:55 p.m. Alice was born at 4:17 p.m. Yeah, thank you. It was very stressful for me. It was a lot. She's beautiful, she is healthy, but there was a lot that we've gone through with Alice as she was born. So she was born, and then they do this test where they check, it's called a red reflect test, where they shine a light in your eyes. So when you take pictures, at least back in the day with like disposable cameras, you all remember this, that you would have the red dots in your eyes. The back of your eye reflects red, and so they do this test, and they did it, and her left eye was perfectly fine, but her right eye didn't reflect anything. What they realized was that she had a cataract that was in her right eye. You'll see in this picture, actually, it's a little red for a reason. So we found out that she had a cataract. So for the past 3.5 months, we've been having appointment after appointment, after visitation, seeing all of these different people to see what we should do. A week or two after she was born, we went and saw a specialist, which we are very blessed to be in the Rochester area, that there is a baby cataract specialist near us. But we go see the specialist, and he tells us, okay, here's what we will do. Around 5 weeks old, she will have to go in for surgery to get that cataract removed. That was hard to hear. Now, they would go in, remove the cataract, and then we could get on that process of helping her gain sight. So, a cataract, so everyone has a lens in your eye. For those of you who wear glasses, that lens isn't working perfectly, and so you get another lens to kind of help that lens see. A cataract is when that lens is clouded. So in her right eye, she could only perceive light and dark, and that was it. So if they didn't remove it, she wouldn't be able to gain any sight really at all in that eye. So she went under for surgery. She had the cataract removed, and then, because she's a baby, they don't put in a new lens yet. I love blowing people's minds with this. They have baby contacts. A tiny contact that we, the parents, get to, blessed to, put that in her eye. Have you ever seen a video of people wrestling a crocodile? This girl, her entire life, all she's known and all that she's been trained for is people poking and prodding at her eye. She does everything she can to say, just stop, please. So we have to put that contact in her eye. Several weeks after that first surgery, they noticed an issue. Some scar tissue had built up in her eye, and she had to go under again. This was about 3 weeks ago. She had to go under for a second surgery to get the scar tissue removed to help the pressure relieve in her eye. Because of all the pressure that had built up in her eye, all this stuff had been moved around, so they had to kind of help reform her cornea, her retina, her pupil, to be able to hopefully, be able to get it back to a point where she would be able to start to see again in that eye. Now, not luckily, because of God's grace and the blessing that we have in being in this area, that surgery was a success, and because of that, she's able to start to see out of that right eye with her contact in, and see, so you see we have to patch her good one. She's adorable. I'm so sorry that this is distracting. She's able to reach out for her toy. She's able to at least start to see with that. This has been a process. This has been a huge, huge process. One thing I didn't say is that when we first saw the specialist, that very first time, he gave us another option. He said, okay, here's what we would do. At 5 weeks old, we give her a surgery to hopefully start to get you on the right track. Or we can do nothing. Or we just let it be what it is. And if we had decided to do nothing, that's exactly what would have happened. Would have been nothing. Her brain would have never made the connections it needed to be able to start seeing in that eye, and she would have just had one good eye and one that just couldn't see at all. At any point along that line, we could have said, enough is enough. Like, we're done. We're done with these ceaseless appointments. Let's just let it be what it is. And then she would have never regained sight. She would have never had that eye healed. The truth is, for all of us, if we want to get to the other side, if we want to be healthier, if we want to be better, we can't pull out of the process. We can't say, we're done. We can't step out of that trail that God has us on. So many of us walk with God, and then part of the way we stop, and then we wonder why we didn't get better. We wonder why I never got to that destination that I felt God was pointing me to, and it's because we stopped walking. It's because we pulled out. And those of us who are more bold maybe even get mad at God, and we say, God, why didn't this work? And he says, because you didn't stay on the path. My first point is this, that your journey with God is a hike. And I picked hike for a reason, because a hike requires a lot of effort. It is a hike. It is not a sprint. It is not just something where you say, start with God and tomorrow you're good. It takes time. It takes steps. It is a hike, not a sprint. Don't get discouraged when it takes time. You have to trust the process. Jesus is alluding to this when he refers to the kingdom of God as a mustard seed, because it takes time for it to grow. You don't put the seed in the ground, wait a day, and then pull it out because you don't see any progress. You leave it there and wait. Patience in that planting. You trust the process that eventually something is going to bloom. It is a hike. It is a hike. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 17, verses 19 through 20. In these verses, a man approaches Jesus and says to Jesus, hey, your disciples tried to help me. My son is possessed, and they tried to drive out that demon, and they couldn't do it. So Jesus, can you please try and help me? So Jesus heals that boy and has this exchange with his disciples in verses 19 through 20. Disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. If you don't know, a mustard seed is very small. It's about a millimeter in width. If I was holding one, you wouldn't be able to tell. So I didn't bring one. But it's so small, infinitesimally small, almost invisible. It's almost nothing. I could have scattered mustard seeds all over this room and none of you would have noticed. It's almost nothing. It's like a grain of sand. When it comes to seeds, you can't get smaller than that. And so Jesus looks at his disciples and says, you have so little faith. You could have at least had a millimeter of faith. Let me ask you a question. What is less than almost nothing? Nothing. He's saying, essentially, that they have no faith at all. And more accurately, he's saying, you have no faith in me. He's saying, you have no faith in the one who has the power to do this. Verse 19 has the disciples asking this, why couldn't we drive it out? Why couldn't we do it? They had faith, but it wasn't in Jesus. Their faith was in themselves. Nora is 3. Pray for us. She's firmly in the I can do it stage of life. Parents of toddlers, you know this means you need to plan for 1 to 5 hours of extra time before you leave the house to be able to actually get out anywhere. You pray that maybe they forget that they know how to tie their shoes, and maybe you get out a little bit faster. But she's in that stage. She is confident. She's so confident in herself. And I'm sorry, Nora, if you're watching this when you're older, that is misplaced confidence at this point in time. A couple weeks ago, my wife is an event planner for RIT. They had a big event a couple weeks ago, so I was with the girls all day. By the way, that's not babysitting. That's just called being a dad. So I was with them all day, but thank you. I know I'm an amazing dad. So I was with them. I put Alice down for her nap, It was only a couple minutes. I come out of Alice's room, and I see Nora had been playing peacefully by herself. I see her now going into the bathroom, saying, I gotta wash my hands. I said, why do you need to wash your hands? I got sand on it. We don't have sand in our house. Now, we do have a sandbox out on our back deck. It's enclosed, so we sometimes open that up for her to be able to go out, get some sun, kind of play a little bit on her own, but that's usually closed off. We have a sliding glass door. We have a sliding screen there. So I say, okay, how did you get this sand? And I follow her out to our door, and apparently the glass door had been unlocked, so she had, with all of her tiny frame, with all of her might, had slid that over, and then I noticed the screen door was still shut. But the screen was just flapping. I said, Nora, what's that? She said, that's how I got out. I said, I see that. We don't do that. When we have that misplaced confidence, when we misplace our faith, things don't work out the way that they should. The disciples weren't able to do what they were called to do because their faith was in themselves. It wasn't in the one who had sent them. Everything would have stayed intact. I wouldn't have had to spend half a day trying to fix a screen door. If Nora had come to me, knowing that I was the one with the ability, I was the one with the power to do things correctly, to do things right. Your faith is only as good as what you place it in. You don't have to have a lot of it, but you have to have it in the right thing. My next point is long, so my apologies, but it's this: the greatest faith in the wrong thing, it accomplishes nothing, but the smallest faith in the right God can accomplish anything. Your misplaced faith means nothing, but a millimeter of faith in the right God can do anything. Nothing is impossible. As the verse says, nothing is impossible for you, but it's not because of you. Nothing is impossible for you because of him. The smallest faith in the right God can accomplish anything, but we have to trust that process. So we've talked about two passages about a mustard seed. We've talked more about that second one, so let's go back to that first one. Jesus starts his parable with talking about the kingdom of God, saying that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, and he talks about establishing and growing his kingdom, establishing his kingdom. By the way, that's what you're a part of right now. That's what we're doing. That's what us gathering. It's a glimpse of what God's kingdom will eventually be like. We are a citizen of his kingdom. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're doing right now. And I don't want us to forget that. Don't forget that you are a citizen of God's kingdom. Listen, I love our country. I love America. I love freedom and national parks and gas station pizza. Those are like the top three American things. But don't let your enthusiasm for your country shadow your enthusiasm for God's kingdom. Right? Hebrews 13:14 says, this city will not endure. In other translations, it says, this is not our home, but we instead look to the city that is to come. Don't forget that you are a citizen of God's kingdom. My apologies. I don't know if it's pollen or what, but everyone close your eyes. Gross. All right. Don't forget, you're a citizen of God's kingdom. Jesus says his kingdom is like a mustard seed. I have 3 points coming out of these verses. The first is that faith knows the potential is the promise. It knows the potential is the promise. A mustard seed is, we've already said, it is tiny. But a mustard tree can actually grow up to 30 feet tall and almost as wide. Starts as almost nothing to the biggest thing that you could have in your garden. If you garden, you know most things. The biggest would be probably corn around here. That is not 30 feet tall. There is so much potential in that seed. It is brimming with potential, but it starts as almost invisible. Hebrews 11:1, say it if you know it, says faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. Certain of what we cannot see. You can't see it, but the potential is there. And I'm not using the word potential like we do in our day-to-day lives, like potentially, hopefully. I'm saying potential like that's a promise. That is there. This past week, I had to bring in my wife's car to get her brakes checked out, which driving there was terrifying. They needed to be checked out. It wasn't just the pads. The plan was that I would drive there, I would leave the car, they would fix it in an hour, and I would be able to go out and work, prepare for today. Instead, I get there and they go, oh no, we need to replace a lot of stuff. This is gonna take several hours. I had driven there, so I was stuck. Luckily, I had brought my laptop with me, and so I was like, okay, hopefully I can start working on stuff. So I opened my laptop in their tiny, tiny waiting room at the mechanics, and I just start searching for any Wi-Fi that my computer could connect to. There was like a hotel a couple buildings down with like the tiniest bar of their guest Wi-Fi. There was a bunch of other ones, and so I just start trying to connect to anything, because connecting to anything would have been better than not connecting to anything. And so I keep trying, and I keep trying, and I keep trying, until luckily a worker came back through the waiting room, and I was to say, hey, do you guys have Wi-Fi, and what is the password, please? Because I'm going to be here for 4 to 5 hours. He gave me the password. That didn't work. He gave me the second one. That did work. And once I was connected, I was able to do everything. I was able to do what I needed to do. In my life, I've never met someone who gives up on trying to connect to the Wi-Fi. Especially working with teens, they will spend days trying to connect to that Wi-Fi. They keep trying. They never would look at that, try a couple times, and say, ah, never mind. It took too long. It didn't work as fast as I wanted it to, so I'm done. I don't really believe in it anymore. They try and they try and they try again until they're connected. We need to be that way with God. We need to be that way with our faith. We keep trying, we keep praying, we keep searching. Why? Because faith knows that the potential is there. Faith knows that potential isn't just potentially something, that is a promise. God has placed that in you, that promise that something is going to grow. It's not just a promise potential, though. Faith also sees purpose in the planting. Verse 32 starts with, yet when planted. The seed's potential can only be realized once it's in the ground. That means whatever you've got that you don't think is enough, if you have almost nothing, God can still use that. Whether that's your abilities, whether that's your job, whether that's your time, whether that's 5 loaves and 2 fish, we know that God can use that. We have to be willing to plant it. If the seed has potential, that means that dirt has purpose. If the seed has potential, that dirt has purpose. Planting something, the first person to try to plant something probably looked insane. You're taking this tiny thing and you're just shoving it in the ground and waiting. You just wait. But we now know that things are happening under the surface. When the world looks at that and says, that's buried, what's happening in your life, it looks like nothing's going on. Who knows that God is working under the surface? God is working on the inside. When the world sees buried, God says, planted. If your life is in the dark right now, if you're feeling the pressure, if you're stuck in the dirt, know that that dirt has purpose in your life. God can use it. There's purpose where you are. It's only a matter of time before something starts to grow. And the last point from these verses is that faith praises in the progress. Praises in the progress. and you plant something, it grows, and eventually it bears fruit or vegetables. But eventually it bears something, and you have a harvest. But I didn't use harvest. First of all, it wouldn't have worked with all the P words. But I didn't use it because harvest, a lot of us think that that is a destination. You've made it, you're done. But harvest is just another step along that journey. Harvest just means, okay, you celebrate that, you praise that, and then you plant again. It's not the end goal. Verse 32, it says, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. This plant grows and it blesses more than just itself. It blesses more than just the gardener. It blesses the birds, random birds that come by. When God blesses you, it's not just for you. It's so that you can bless others, so that he grows you so you can then help others to grow. We celebrate that. But more importantly, we invite other people in to that, to see that, to experience that, to see what he has done and can do for them. We can't camp out there. We can't. As the band comes back up, I've got one final point for all of this. Turn your Bibles to Romans 8, 28. We can't camp out in that harvest area. We want to because that's comfortable. We live in a day and age where the goal to me seems to be, how comfortable can we be? We only want comfort, which comes from a normal place. That's not necessarily bad. For the first month and a half, 2 months of Alice's life, that's all we prayed and hoped for her. Because of all that she had to endure, I don't know if you've ever seen a jaded newborn, but I have. She literally would just go, this might as well happen. All we wanted was for her to experience some form of comfort. Psalm 23 says that God makes us lie down. He leads us beside still, quiet waters. He restores, he refreshes our soul. This comfort is a good because this comfort is recovery. But the comfort that the world says we need, that it is offering now in all of its digital downloads and its delivery apps where fast food wasn't fast enough, or it's too hard to drive there, I need it delivered to my house instead. It'll be a little cold, it's perfect. All of that comfort, it's not recovery, that's escapism. It's how can we avoid discomfort at all costs? The goal the world says we need is comfort. And I began this message with that tagline, trust the process. We use that term when it becomes uncomfortable. When the process gets hard, we say we gotta trust it, though, to encourage us to stay that course. And so that begs the question, what's the process? Romans 8, 28 says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. I'm gonna read that again. It says, and we know that in all things, stop there. In all things, let me ask you this. What is your thing? What's that thing that you're dealing with right now? What's that thing that has been pulling at you, that's been poking at you? What's that thing that you've been putting off, that you've been pushing to the back of your mind to pretend it doesn't even exist? What's that thing? Paul writes that you can know this. In all things, including that thing that you just thought about, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. When you're going through it, when you're experiencing that thing that you thought of, hearing this verse can be frustrating. How can he use that for good? How can he use that for good? It's frustrating because we equate good with comfortable, grief, loss, pain, suffering. All of those things are the antithesis of comfort. Things that every single person in this room would agree and say, I don't see how that could be used for good. How can we reconcile that? Luckily for us, Paul keeps talking, and we see in verse 29, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." Don't miss that. Conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That's his definition of good. Conformed to the image of his son. His definition is different than ours. You've been told all your life that good means successful, it means rich, it means easy, it means comfortable, that you've won, that you've arrived when you're able to get everything done for you. Paul says that good really is God taking all of it. That's the good and the bad. That is the gratifying and the uncomfortable. He takes all of it and uses it in your life to make you more like Jesus. Trust the process. Trust the process. Have patience. You're not buried, you're planted. It's not about your works. It's not about mustering up the biggest faith to grow spiritually. It's placing faith the size of a mustard seed in the dirt of your life and allowing God to make something beautiful out of the mess. But it means you have to trust the process. It means you have to have patience in that planting. Even the things you look at and say, how can God use that? He'll use it. Don't take the seed out. Trust that potential. Trust that the God who spoke the world into existence can transform your life. It's not the size of your faith, it's the size of our God. Any faith that you are able to place in God is the right amount. Your life has been filled with placing miles and miles and miles of faith in things that have let you down. Would you be able to muster up a millimeter of faith for God to do his work? This next song, we're gonna ask that you stay seated for the first part. This song you've probably heard before. It's Don't Stop Praying. The message is clear from the title. But in that first verse, it starts with, what's your impossible? What's your I need a miracle? It's asking you to think of your thing. What is that thing that you've been dealing with? For this first part, you're going to sit there, you're going to do whatever you need to do to engage with God. Close your eyes, pray, engage with God. What's the dirt surrounding you? Ask God to grow you from it. As you are planted, don't pull yourself out. After verse and a chorus, Alex will invite you all to stand and finish out singing together. I want to encourage us, don't stop on the trail. Have patience in the planting. You are a part of God's process. Have faith that he will grow you. Have faith that he will use that. I'm going to actually ask all of you, close your eyes now as we engage with God, this first part of this song.